Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this night that you have blessed us with the wonderful opportunity to study your word, to sing praises to you, and to approach your throne in prayer. We're thankful for Brother Melvin being willing to sacrifice his time to come our way to proclaim the gospel of Christ, and we appreciate the good way in which he does it. We're thankful for his ability, for his stand for the truth. We know through the years he has stood tall when it comes to the gospel of Christ, and we appreciate the good work that he has done. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll listen closely to the lesson that he'll be presenting to us tonight, and that we'll learn from it and grow thereby. We praise you, Heavenly Father. We are here primarily to worship you, to give you the honor that you deserve. Help us always to realize just how great you are. At the same time, be thankful that you care so much for us. Even though you are so powerful and so great, we know that you are concerned for us. We are thankful for the greatest demonstration of that concern, the giving of your son Jesus. We're thankful that he was willing to come down from heaven to give up those riches above, to be made poor so that we might be made rich. Help us always to be thankful for all the many blessings that we enjoy. Be with us now for the rest of this service. It's through the name of your son Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Once again, as we come together, giving God all the thanks, all the praise, and all the glory and honor for having the opportunity to come together to go through his holy and divine word. On tonight, we are going to look at a topic which is religious confusion. Religious confusion. When we talk to people about God's word, or we're having a Bible study with them, there are many different things that we hear. And I'm going to share some things with you tonight from my personal experience with talking with people in reference to them being confused about religion. As long as we are preaching the word of God, you may never hear any bad things, or, you know, when you're preaching to people that are not members of the Lord's church. There was a time when I was in Longview, Texas, and I would prepare for Bible class, for worship service, leave there, go to the jail, teach a class or preach, go to another section of the jail and do it again, and go to an assistant living, do it there, and then go back to evening worship. Some may say that's not much, and some others say that's a busy day. It was sort of easy, really, because one of those lessons I could preach four times in that day. Hello. Always different. Always different when I preach it. But we began to say, you know, let's not preach anymore. Let's start teaching. And as we were teaching, we got on the subject of piano players and organ players. And I mentioned, because of my background, coming from the Baptist, way back in the day, I mentioned that from my experience that most of those individuals were homosexuals. And a little lady had rolled in there in her wheelchair, and she got offended about that. And it was the truth, nothing but the truth. And then she mentioned Billy Graham. And I, in turn, from my military experience, realizing that when you woke up that morning, and this is male and female, and you got dressed, you put one leg at a time in those BDU pants. And I said to her, Billy Graham is just a man. It wasn't no old man that day, Brother Brian. She was offended. And she rolled out of that lesson, never to return. Never to return. Because Billy Graham was just a man. See, we put a lot of emphasis on people that we have never met before. We put a lot of stock in what they teach. And we've never done any research before. We go with what we hear and we run with it and we want to stand tall on that. I believe in what Jude 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith. I shared with some about an 89-year-old lady who had been listening to the radio program for 4 years. She called us up one Saturday. And she said, Brother Melvin, she said, I want to come and worship over there with you all. She said, because I've been listening to the radio program for 4 years, and I've been a Baptist for 40 years, and I know that I'm not right. And I said, give me your address. And we went by and we picked her up, and she came to worship service with us on that Sunday morning, and as we was going to Bible class, we were talking to her. And she had already studied for 4 years, mind you. And she said, I want to be right. And understanding what being right is all about and what you need to do with being right. 89 years old, mind you. And she, you know, I know it took her a while to get dressed. And she was dressed to the nines. Her makeup was all just the way it needed to be. But you know what she had to do that Sunday morning? She had to get undressed and get dressed in order to be added to the body of Christ. She gave up that religious confusion. And the reason that a lot of people are confused about religion is because I don't know how many Christian so-called stations you have in this area, but some people, when they turn that radio on, they never turn it off. They listen to every program that comes on, and then they will call into more Bible talk and say, you're confusing me. I said, no, ma'am. I said, we're not confusing you. You're confusing yourself because you're listening to every program that comes on, and we're not on the, what's it called, the Nielsen ratings? We're not on that. That's not why we would continue to be on the radio program. We were paying our money to be on the radio program. So you know what I would tell them? Don't listen to those other radio programs. And no one ever came and reprimanded me for saying, don't tell them not to listen. We want them to listen. They didn't care if they listened or not. Because they was gonna, if you paid your money, that radio program was going to be on. And so that's what I would continue to tell them back then, and that's what I would continue to tell them today. If you're confused because you're listening to all of these other radio programs about what he said and she said and disregarding what God says, you need to quit listening. And so this past week, we were going over a lesson talking about religious confusion, and there was a 95-year-old lady sitting in class that wanted to take over the class. Anita was late to the class, and when Anita came in, she was like, why is he talking to her like that? Well, I wasn't talking to her any disrespectful way because the place where we were is their place of living. That's where they reside. We were invited into their house. And as we go into someone's house, they get what they get because they invited us in. But she wanted to take over the class and she wanted to tell us how God spoke to her mother, how her mother seen God before she died, how her mother was saved because she was sprinkled. And all I wanted, and this is what everybody should want, If you are practicing some type of religion, be able to put your finger on it in the Bible and show somebody else. If you are practicing anything that you say is true, open up God's word and show it to somebody else. And let everybody else be able to practice that same thing. So we're going to talk about, again, we're going to talk about religious confusion on this evening. And from all what I've said thus far, if I've confused anybody, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But just sit back and relax, because if what I just said confused you, what we're getting ready to look at should confuse you just a little bit more. But before it's all over, all said and done, there should not be any confusion. If you're confused, it's going to be because you want to be confused, okay? So let's look at it. False teaching is where confusion comes from. False teaching now. When the truth is not being told, people are confused. So what are we going to look at? What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about once saved, always saved. In the Baptist manual, you don't have to go and look this up, but I believe it's on page 69. The reason I know that is because I had it on my slide and somehow or another disappeared, but that's okay too. Once saved, always saved. That's what the Baptists teach. That's what some other denominations teach. Once saved, always saved. What does that really mean? That means once you obey the gospel, which they're really not obeying the gospel when they teach that, because they really don't understand what the gospel is all about, that they can do whatever they want to do, and they're going to be saved in the end. The Bible does not teach that. If that was the case, what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 22 through 23 would not be there. You know, people say when we talk to them about God's word, they say, I want the red letters. I don't know if you all can see this or not, but there are no red letters here. I have the black letters, but it is still the words of Jesus. And so if you want the words of Jesus, just tell me you want the words of Jesus, and let's open up our Bibles together and let's look at the words that Jesus spoke. So he says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Does that sound like some people that's away from God? Or does that sound like some people that has been with God? Has been, you know, associated with worshiping God the way they're supposed to worship him? That's what it sounds like to me. Some people that know God, that understands what God wants them to do. Sounds like to me some saved people. But you know what Jesus says there in verse 23? You're reading it for yourselves. He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. Does that sound like one saved, always saved? That sounds like some people that had some problems. That sounds like some people that didn't want to do what God told them to do, or did not, or did what God told them not to do. Whichever way you want to look at it, they were not allowed to enter in, or they're not going to be allowed to enter in because they fell away somewhere. So once saved, always saved is not a message that we need to be preaching, or not a message that we need to be, you know, tending to or practicing or thinking that, hey, I'm a Christian now. I can do whatever I want to do. Come judgment, God is going to let me in. No, he's not. Don't be confused. That's what man is teaching. And when man is teaching something and he has no Bible for it, but yet we have Bible that proves otherwise, what are you going to go with? Just because it sounds good? Or you're going to do it? Everything that sounds good to you is not good for you. Everything that looks good to you is not good for you. Think about Adam and Eve for a moment. That fruit looked good. It felt good. It tasted good. And maybe it was good for them. But you know what it caused to happen to them? To have a spiritual separation away from God, and later that physical death. So therefore, we need to understand that we can We can fall away from the word of God and we can lose our salvation. What about saved by faith only? Saved by faith only. You know, again, this is the teachings of the Baptist. Saved by faith only. That's not what the Bible teaches. You know, when you see faith only in the Bible, we go to James chapter 2 and we look there and we see what James says in reference to faith. And this is, again, what we need to realize when we look at his word and know that his word is teaching us what is right. And so if you think that you are saved by faith only, if you know someone that says that they're saved by faith only, think about the many things this week that we've already talked about that saves us. I went to John chapter 3, verse 16, and we talked about God being in our salvation. Talked about the Son being in our salvation. Talked about we ourselves being involved in our salvation and love being involved in our salvation. So when you say saved by faith only, you excluding God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You excluding someone else from coming and teaching you the truth. Faith only, again, as we read here in James chapter 2, end of verses 24, it says, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Okay. Now, is that all that we need to do is works in order to be saved? No, you need to do works and have faith. Rahab, the harlot, the Bible tells us here, you know, and I appreciate this because you cannot mistake Rahab to be anybody else but who she was long before she was saved. And it says, in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So Rahab the harlot, or Rahab the prostitute, or Rahab, this same lady that was in the lineage of Jesus, our Savior, had faith. She also had works. So faith alone does not save. So therefore, we should not listen to people that say, saved by faith only. Then we continue and we talk about the sinner's prayer. Again, Billy Graham, you know, he has promoted this thing, the sinner's prayer. I had a Bible one time that, you know, it was one of those small Bibles, and I was standing before a congregation of people and I was preaching God's word, and I opened up that Bible and I said, ripped that page out of it and balled it up and threw it away. You should have seen and heard the gasp and the looks of the faces of the people on that day. Same thing would have happened tonight if I had done it, but I have a good Bible tonight. Not ripping any pages out of it. Sinner's prayer. There is no such thing as a sinner's prayer to have salvation. Pray this prayer. Now, I'm not going to try to recite it. I don't know every word of it. But then they tell you after you say this prayer, now you are saved. Now call us. Let's talk with you. Send me some money. No. Salvation does not happen by just praying. John chapter 9, verse 31, it says that God does not hear a sinner's prayer. A sinner's prayer. And again, this is when a sinner, a man that's apart from him, is praying unto him. God is not hearing that individual. So therefore, a person must be a believer of God when we look at this and talk about a sinner's prayer. So let's read John 9. And the verse is 31. John 9 and the verse is 31. You know, generally I talk about being separated away from God and God not hearing your prayers. We go to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, where it talks about the iniquities of the people, the children of Israel that have separated between them and their God. And he will not hear their prayers because they're in sin. But we find here in John 9:31, it says, we know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him who worships God. One of his servants. He listens to them. But a man that's in sin, a man that's apart from him, he is not hearing that individual. So why are you trying to say that there's a sinner's prayer that's going to make you a child of God when you are not a worshiper of him? See, there's something that an individual must do in order to become a worshiper of God. And as we were talking about last night, his worship to be acceptable unto him. We need to continue to look at these things, and we should not be afraid to tell people, yes, you may be praying, but God is not listening. There's a young man, his mother asked him one time, he's a senior in high school, and his mother asked him, said, Josh, do you pray to God? And he looked at her and he said, why? He says, I'm not a Christian. Okay, Josh, the next question is, why are you not a Christian? Josh had a problem. And Josh's problem was he was afraid of the water. He got over that fright. He got over it. He moved in with Anita, myself, and our youngest son, Chris. And I had this room that I had made my office, and I was getting ready to tear it down. And that day I got ready to tear that office down, I asked Josh to come in and sit down and talk with me. And as we were sitting there talking, and we were talking about him and becoming a Christian, and he looked at me and he said, Mel, he said, I don't have any reason why I should not become a Christian. And soon as we finished that conversation, his mother and father pulled up in front of our house. They had driven over 150 miles. They had no idea that we was talking about Josh becoming a Christian on that day. And his dad was able to baptize him on that day, and he became a child of God, and he did not have to worry about praying to God away from God. Now he's a child of God, so therefore a worshiper of God, and God will hear his prayers. And that is what we need to stress to the people. If you want God to hear your prayers, become one of his children. And then we talked about sprinkling and pouring and praying on Friday night. And the lady says, my mother was a Methodist and she was sprinkled. I say, just give me one passage. That's all I'm asking for, is one passage in scripture that says sprinkling is okay. Pouring or praying. Saul, when he went on to Damascus after Jesus told him, you go ahead and go on to Damascus. There is a man that's going to tell you what you need to do. Saul prayed 3 days, but yet he was not saved. He still had sins. And Ananias told him after he prayed and those scales fell from his eyes, he says, Ananias, Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Calling on the name, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. So praying you away from God is not going to save you. Pouring water on you is not going to save you. Sprinkling you is not going to save you. When Jesus was put in that borrowed tomb, they did not just roll that stone halfway. But they enclosed that tomb. He was completely buried. And that is what needs to happen to us. If you want to become a Christian and you're not a Christian, that's what needs to happen to you. You need to be buried in a watery grave of baptism, because Galatians 3:27 says, as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptism is an immersion in water, a barrier in water. Not sprinkling, not pouring, and again, not praying. Therefore, we need to understand God's word is true. So these teachings here that is coming from man, we need to disregard those things. We need to stand boldly and tell people those things are not true. You have no Bible for them, so therefore, do not believe them. This is one of my favorites. God spoke to me. Went to a funeral. Man got up and he was supposed to have been praying. And that was, instead of praying, he wanted to testify. He wanted to preach a little bit. And he talked for about 5 minutes, because God had put on his heart these things that he wanted him to say. And another gentleman that was sitting there got up and walked behind him and whispered something in his ear. And the guy that was talking said, God told me it's time to sit down. See, we need to understand that God is not man. We need to understand that God is not a respecter of person. If he's going to talk to you, he's going to talk to me. One of the things I like to tell people when they say God spoke to me, I say, what time did he speak to you? And they give me a time and I give them a closer time than where we are now. And I say, well, this is what he told me. And if he spoke to you, he can speak to me. And they'll tell you quick, I know God didn't tell you that. Well, I know God didn't tell you what he told you. There's no new revelation. No new revelation. If you tell me something that's in God's word, God did not just tell you, he's told all of us. So don't come and say that God spoke to you, because the Bible teaches us that it is not God that's speaking, but it's Jesus. And Jesus is not speaking to us apart from his word. He says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Jesus came to this earth in order, again, to save his people from their sins. Jesus came to this earth in order to do the will of the Father and not his own. Jesus came to this world in order to talk to his disciples, and he talked to them, and he gave them a great commission, and he told them that they should go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to come and to bring to their remembrance everything that he had told them. To bring to their remembrance now, because Jesus spoke to them, and we know how it is sometimes when people speak to us. We remember some things and some things we don't, but the Holy Spirit was going to bring to their remembrance everything that Jesus had spoken to them. And here's the good thing, that the Holy Spirit not only spoke to them, but the Holy Spirit also inspired men to write this book, that we may have the words of our Lord and our Savior, and that we may hear him speak through the pages of the divine word. Let's listen to him and let's see what he has to say. And then not only does God speak to people, so they say, but there are those that say, I have seen God. And again, that woman told us, my mother, she seen God. And God told her that she was going to die on that night. And I believe that she is with him right now in heaven. Again, why are people confused? People are confused because people do not want to open up the word of God. They just want to listen to what some man says and run with those things and continue to practice those things or continue to believe those things instead of opening up the Bible and reading it for themselves. And John 1 and the verse is 18. John 1 and the verse is 18. No one has seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. No one has ever seen God. Now, if you say that you've seen God, I'm going to talk to you for a little while about that. And I'm going to say, even when you say God spoke to me, I'm going to talk to you a little while about that. And I'm going to say this. I don't know who you seen. I don't know who you heard. I really can't tell you that, but I do know that it wasn't God the Father. You know, we need to believe this, that the devil is real. And just as we speak to God in prayer, we don't speak to the devil in prayer, but we do tell him where to get off. Because if you allow him to ride, sooner or later he's going to want to drive. Once saved, always saved is from the devil. Saved by faith only is from the devil. Sinner's prayer is from the devil. Sprinkling, pouring, praying. Well, I don't really want to say praying is from the devil, but in this sense, it's from the devil. God spoke to me is from the devil. I have seen God is from the devil. So therefore, we should not listen to these false teachings. We should not listen to false preachers or teachers. We should be able to open up the book when they tell us something that they believe. We don't have to go and study their manuals. We don't have to go and study their doctrines. Oh, you say, that sounds foreign to me. That should be enough. You don't have to go and dig through all of these, you know, different books to find out exactly what they're saying. Open up the book and know what God says, and then you will be all right. My loved one is in heaven. Now, this is a touchy subject right here. When a person says that my loved one is in heaven, my mother has died, my father has died, or whoever else in your family has died, and you say they're in heaven. They're in heaven. No, they're not. I don't care how saved they were, how holy they were, how faithful they were. They are not in heaven. They are going to be judged. And I want you to understand this. If they were in heaven, why would God send them from heaven? Now, apart from his son, why would he send them from heaven to stand before the judgment throne just to tell them to come on back in? Why would he do that? That's playing with their, I want to say emotions, but that just wouldn't be right. The Bible teaches us right here in John 3, verse 13, John 3 to verses 13, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. No one has ascended into heaven except for he that descended. Is John lying right here? He's telling the truth. And we need to listen to what John is saying. And we need to tell people, your family member, your friend, is going to be judged. You know, there's a lot of people that we would think that, you know, they're going to get to heaven that may not get there. I may not get there. You may not get there. But if we don't, it's our own fault. But no one is going to be able to enter in heaven before anybody else. So therefore, let us live the way God wants us to live and do the things that God wants us to do. All right? Now, so let's keep looking at this. Let's understand that all these things I just mentioned right there, once saved, always saved, saved by faith, only sinner's prayer, sprinkling, pouring, praying, God spoke to me, I have seen God, my loved one is in heaven. All of those things is from man, not from God. God is not the reason for religious confusion. I didn't really mean that to all go up there at one time, but it's there. God is not the reason for religious confusion. His will has been revealed to us. We cannot get around it. All we have to do again is open up the book. And if you're afraid to sit down with somebody and open up the book with them and show them where they're wrong, then you're wrong. You need not be afraid. You need to, you know, feel free, feel encouraged to sit down with somebody and help them out of religious confusion. People will ask questions and people will get confused, but they do not have to remain confused. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22, he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And his word is the good news that was preached to you. So it's not because of God that men are confused about how they're saved. It's not because of God that men are confused about how long they're saved. It's not because of God that anything any man believes apart from his word that they believe those things is because of God. It is not because of him. It's because they choose to believe that and not what God has said. In 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 14 and the verse is 37. 1 Corinthians 14 and the verse is 37. If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. Again, Paul said, don't be confused about what's going on. You should know that these things are from the Lord. The things that we're talking about tonight, those false teachings and the way that we are showing that those things are false are from the Lord. Because we have Bible to prove that those things are not right. We have Bible to show that this is what God says and this is what man has said, and we need to ignore what man has said and believe what God has said. His word is complete and accurate. There are no mistakes in his word. For some would say, well, you know, God contradicts himself and his word. No, God does not. Well, what happens is you get confused because you have been listening to everybody. Because again, as we talked about Paul, you know, with those men there in Athens, they were too superstitious. They were too religious. They didn't want to miss any God. They wanted to worship them all. And that's what people say. That's what people do. I want to say this before I go any further, that this lady that we was talking to the other night, she says, you know, there's not going to be any denominations in heaven. I'm like, wow. You're absolutely right. There are not going to be any denominations in heaven. But why do we have them here on earth? Why are you part of a denominational group? Because of what some man has said. And you want to hold fast to those things. Again, God's word is complete and his word is accurate. In Psalm 119, verse 128. Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. You know, we should hate the same thing God hates, right? And we should hate it with a passion, just like God hates it with a passion. God is not soft on sin, and we shouldn't be soft on sin. God did not take it easy on false teachers, and we should not take it easy on false teachers. You know, I recall how Elijah, how he mocked the prophets of Baal. But yet, we want to compromise with the world. We won't want to play around with them. We don't have time to be playing. Tomorrow is not promised to us. Again, we need to stand and fight for the truth. Do not be afraid. In Romans chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the value of circumcision? Much in every way, to begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your works, in your words, and prevail when you are judged. Again, God, let him be true, and every man be a liar. Because his word is complete. His word is accurate. His word is what we can trust in. His word, again, we find in John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, what does that do with the word of man? Pushes it aside. We do not need to trust in the word of man. See, I say that because everything I'm telling you tonight, again, I want you, I would encourage you to look at this next verse here. When we talked about the word of God can be understood, I want you to look at this verse and I want you to take it to heart. And I want you not to wait until tomorrow, but go home tonight and look at some of these things in which we have talked about to ensure that they are true. Acts 17, verse 11. Acts 17, verse 11. It said, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Examining them daily. How often do we pick up God's word and study it? How often do we go back and we say, yes, that preacher said this. I want to make sure that it is true. You know, there's a sermon out there on the web. It was Brother Marshall Keeble. Brother Marshall Keeble, he preached a lesson, and when he finished preaching that lesson, he had not given one book, chapter, or verse. But you know what he said at the end of that lesson? It's there. You go look it up. And he meant every word that he said. And yes, what he was saying was in the Bible. And so I want to encourage you tonight to go and study your Bibles to make sure that the things that you hear, not just from me, but from anybody that is teaching you God's word, go and make sure that it is true. And if it is true, start practicing it and start teaching it to somebody else so that they may get their lives in order. In John chapter 8, verse 32, again, we will like to have freedom. We want to be free. Well, he tells us right here that the word of God will set you free. We can know the Bible alike. Should not be any misunderstanding. Nobody should say, that's how you interpret it and this is how I interpret it. You can know the truth, and the truth will set or make you free. So the word of God can be understood. The prayer and plea from the word is that we are one, or that we should be one. We talk about the Lord's Prayer, and many times when we mention the Lord's Prayer, you hear somebody say the Lord's Prayer, they're talking about the model prayer. They're talking about when Jesus' disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John has taught his disciples. Well, that's just a model prayer. But here in John 17, these are the words of Jesus as he prayed to the Father. And the prayer, a part of his prayer, is that we may be one as he is one with the Father. John 17, verse 20. John 17, verse 20, he said, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We can be one. We talk about, you know, being divided. And we talk about being divided because that's what type of world we live in. A world that's divided because of this and because of that. But we should never be divided because of God's word. His word should bring us together. His word should make us want to focus on the goal. And the goal is heaven. Sorry to say, but everybody is not going to get there. Sorry to say that we can't get along here on this earth, so therefore there's no way we're going to be able to be in heaven together. Some are going to have to depart and go to the left, and some are going to go to the right. Which side are you going to be on? That's what you need to think about. Because not just the denominational world that we are trying to bring together, but just as Paul did there in 1 Corinthians 1, we're trying to bring children of God, Christians together, that there may not be any separations between us. That we may be able to worship together, that we may be able to sing together, that we may be able to live together, and that come judgment, we may be able to hear, enter in, my good and faithful servant, together. He says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Those are some questions that they needed to answer. And we know very well that they would answer and say, no, Christ is not divided. No, Paul was not crucified for us. No, I wasn't baptized in the name of Paul. Well, we need to be saying the same thing today. We need to be standing on the truth. We need to be trying to get people to come away from false doctrines. We need to be trying to get our members, you know, of the large church, the universal church. We need to be trying to get all men to come together to study the Word of God that we may agree on what needs to be agreed on. Yes, there are some problems that we're having within the body of Christ. And I would just like to say within those problems we're having, hopefully we don't go back and look at these things and start believing some of these things right here. But sad to say, when we hear these things, sometimes it makes us want to scratch our heads. It makes us want to wonder. Sometimes it even put doubt within our own minds. And some fall away because they start believing these things. See, we cannot believe those things and think that God is going to be pleased with us. But we have to believe again that God is not the reason for religious confusion. It's man. It's man. Each one of us is going to have to stand before the judgment throne. Do not stand. Do not live your life to the point of saying, I just don't care anymore. Come judgment. You know, God is going to take it easy on me because I have been a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years. Now, God is not going to take it easy on nobody. Everybody's going to be judged the same. He's going to be judged by this word. Perfect word. There's nothing in his word that should tell you that what you're doing that's wrong is right. So again, let's quit listening to man and start listening to God. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, maybe you have believed some of those things that I mentioned earlier that has been causing you to be confused, thinking that one denominational group is good as another. And I say denominational groups because when you become a member of the Lord's church, then again, you know that those denominational groups are wrong. Well, what I like to hear sometimes is say, there's not much difference in you all than us. Not much difference. You know what the problem is? There is a difference. There is a difference. If there is any difference at all, you need to start questioning which is right. And we know that man can be right in some instances on one thing or another. But we know that God is always right. So if you're here and you're not a child of God, you understand that those things are wrong. Or if you want to study through those things a little bit further, we'd be glad to set up a study with you. I'm only going to be here a few more days. I'll leave that to Brother Wright and the elders and the other men here of this congregation or the women. If there's a woman that wants to study, study. Study. Study and learn what the truth is all about. Maybe you're ready tonight to come forth to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Quit stalling. Quit hesitating. Quit procrastinating. Put Christ on tonight, for tomorrow is not promised to not one of us. James says, what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeared for a little time. One moment you're here, and the next moment you're gone. It's like a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Do not allow your life to pass without being a member of the Lord's church, working for the kingdom, doing what is right and pleasing before God. It is not so hard to get up and stand before people and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or you say, well, yes, you saying that because you've been speaking before people for a long time. Well, if you're that shy, there are some that can get together with you and you can make that confession before them. And then you can learn, you know, what you need to do, and you can be baptized in the watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life. See, God's desire is that men everywhere might be saved. If you're not saved, you're that person that his desires that you are saved, that you quit believing what man says and start believing what he says. And maybe you're here tonight and you're strayed away. And you've been gone for a while. Now you're ready to come back. But something is holding you back. You know what that something is? It's you. You're holding yourself back. Quit holding yourself back. Let yourself go. Come and make your confession that you need to make. And ask for prayers of the congregation that you may be strengthened. That you may be faithful that you may hear in the end, enter in, my good and faithful servant. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.